Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Welcome indeed to Lost in the Static. I can't do Scott's voice sex thing properly.
My voice sex thing?
That's what the people in the Cinema Snob Forum are calling you, Scott Voice Sex Murray.
Oh, sweet. Thank you, everybody. I'm so glad you enjoy the dulcet tones of me.
Speaking of voice sex, adamandeve.com. Well, it's not voice, but sex.
Speaking of sex, adamandeve.com. If you're listening to me and you just need to either A, shove yourself into something, or B, shove something into you, Adam and Eve has got it, and you can get it for 50% off, plus free shipping, 3 free DVDs, a great big mystery gift, and the love and respect of me and Josh.
You going to tell them how they're going to get all that stuff?
Yes, I am, if you would shut up for just a minute. when you're checking out at Adam and Eve, after you've done your shopping, just input the code STATIC into that little promo code, and all of that will happen.
So Hart, do you see the kind of bullshit I got to put up with every week?
Yeah, well, since you assholes did your plug, I'm going to have to do mine.
Fair enough.
Order now. Safe Sigs. Go to safesig.com. That's SAFECIG. Safesig.com for a safe alternative to tobacco smoke. Use the code HORROR. That's the code HORROR. HORROR. And get 20% off. That's correct. You will get 20% off your next purchase of electronic cigarettes when you go to safesig.com.
And now, speaking of the promo code HORROR, Josh, now you want to talk about promotions. Why on earth, dear Hart, would people use the word horror, and why is that associated with you?
Well, it's because I do American Horrors. I mean, for the people at home who have never heard of me, and there's a reason for that.
we're not getting into that.
If you guys
this
haven't
week.
Heard of me, I am in charge of American Horrors, the original American Horrors, the only American Horrors. Accept no substitutes, and we are the best 24-hour, 7 days a week, completely uncut horror channel in the world. And you could get us really easy for just $1.95 a month at filmon.com. That's FILMON.com. And for the retarded out there, that's FILMONZTAN.com.
Oh. You really just crack up with that one.
Yeah, I know, guys. I know. I like to have a lot of fun, you know.
It's funny how
language can get to people. You know, I had a horror writer tell me I couldn't use the word retard on my Facebook page. Well, anybody out there, if you don't know anything about my history, it's one thing. You'll never, ever get me to shut the fuck up. I don't shut up. I don't care who the fuck you are. If you've never heard of me, before I was doing American Horrors, I ran a comic company called Boneyard Press. Now, some of the things you might not have heard about. I am the only comics creator that I am aware of that has beaten Marvel Comics in court. That's correct. I have kicked Marvel Comics in court. Me and the Hell's Angels, by the way, the motorcycle gang. We beat them, and I caused them to cancel their title, not the other way around. When Marvel tried to sue me, I faced off against them. They didn't even fucking bother. You get me? That's just one. The other, I'm the publisher of Michael Diana, the only cartoonist in America to go to jail for his artwork. And even after he went to jail and the courts ruled it as legally obscene, I continued to publish his work and I continued to distribute it, even though I'd been threatened with jail by police. I've had the police come to my house and tell me to leave town over my Jeffrey Dahmer comic books because there's a protest march on my home. My second year of publishing comic books, I was listed in the top 100 most important people in the industry by Hero Illustrated. And I made it on that list again the following year. And why? Because I'm such a huge free speech advocate. You guys wouldn't have the Saw movies if I wasn't in court fighting for our rights as horror creators to do what we want to do. I faked my death in 1998 when I, that was for April Fool's Day, and, you know, I also worked in the adult film industry. I worked in advertising. My first year working as a graphic designer in the ad game, I was nominated for Best Ad Campaign of the Year by ABN Magazine. That's right, guys. best ad campaign of the year. See, I've got a lot of experience in marketing and sales and packaging. It's kind of one of my secret weapons. I've been flown out to Tokyo to give a lecture on team building and leadership, and also a lecture about American poetry. I've done a lecture tour through universities in Mexico about the artist's responsibility for violence in the real world in a post-Columbine world. I'm a heavy-hitting motherfucker, yet you don't read about me in the pages of a lot of horror mags. You don't hear about me on a lot of these horror websites, and I have been banned from Wikipedia. That's right, guys. Wikipedia has decided I'm evil. I'm good enough for Larry King. I'm good enough to be in Time Magazine. I'm good enough to have been a comic publisher for about 15 years, whose work has been in the A to Z Guide to Serial Killers. I've been featured in Tattoo Savage. Jesus Christ, I've done a lot of shit, guys. I've been on the E on OJ show about the OJ stuff. I did comics about OJ Simpson, sold them on the courthouse steps during the trial, got sued by OJ, and oh yeah, I beat OJ too. You get me? I'm a guy who's been to court. I've been sued for copyright infringement over the Milwaukee's Best t-shirts that I did on Jeffrey Dahmer by Miller Brewing. So what I am, I'm a guy who's used to battling it out with titans. I'm a guy who doesn't like the words no. I'm a guy who keeps going, who keeps pushing, who doesn't give it up. I'm also a gentleman who's very, very into revenge. Other people talk about revenge. They're tourists in revenge. I'm from fucking Chicago. Revenge is a religion to me, and I'm serious about it. And when I get even, I prefer legally. Legally. So if I'm looking for you, I'm going to torture you. It's going to be ugly, and it's going to be nice and legal, which makes it even worse. And now I'm on the rampage. American Horrors has been on the air for over a year. We're kicking ass. At FilmOn.com, we've got 7 million mobile app users. 7 million, motherfuckers. That's my reach. We've got 20,000 Facebook app users. That's correct. 20,000. That's a lot of people. And we're only growing. We're only getting bigger. Oh, did I mention I'm a maniac for the martial arts? You guys watch The Ultimate Fighter? I've known Manny Gambieran since he was fucking 14. You guys have heard of Gene LaBelle? He's my fucking friend. Oops. Things are very different for me. I'm in a very good place.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, which I've never talked to you about on the air before, is Veronica number 4, A Taste of Cherry.
Mm. Right.
Can you tell people that might not be aware of Veronica number 4 for our younger listeners or people that just were not into comics, what happened with Veronica number 4?
Well, what you guys need to understand out there is that the government is constantly out there for political gain. You know, censorship isn't about protecting anybody. Censorship is about, that bothers me, so I can't stand to bear that it's there. Or they don't want you talking. They don't want people hearing what you got to say, like Josh, you being hacked off the air. A lot of what we do on Josh's other show, What the Fuck, which I do a segment on it called Heart Attack, we get hacked off the air on a regular basis. And why is that? Because we're a threat to the status quo, because what we say gets under people's skin, and it's the truth. The truth hurts. And as far as it goes with A Taste of Cherry, that's all political. A lawyer, a district attorney in Oklahoma City illegally seized and attacked Planet Comics. Let me just tell you guys this. The news reporters were there at Planet Comics in Oklahoma City before any police showed up. Now, if you've got a news truck out in front of your shop before the police get there, you know it's not really about breaking the law. This is about making points. This is about politics. So this guy went in and he shut down this store and he seized Veronica number 4. And they were specifically targeting a story that was written by myself and Christian Moore called The Taste of Cherry. It's about a snuff film. It's a brutal little story. It's 10 pages long. And it's been ruled as obscene material in the state of Oklahoma to this day. This case destroyed the owners of Planet Comics. They had a wonderful little comic book store. It's a great store, and their lives are ruined by this. This person, this district attorney, ruined their lives. He tried to charge them with child porn. The Comic Legal Defense Fund got involved, but these guys eventually copped a plea. They lost their store. one guy's wife divorced him because she couldn't bear to be with a man who could sell child porn. He didn't sell child porn. They just threw the charge on there to scare these guys. It's a bully tactic. And after these lawyers did this and were successful with Veronica Number 4, they illegally went to Blockbuster and seized the rental records and seized every copy of The Tin Drum, a German film that's taught in film school, that I saw in film school. And they went to people's homes to seize The Tin Drum, and they fucked up because they went to the home of an ACLU lawyer who had The Tin Drum. And then their little game ended, but not before those poor guys at Planet Comics had their lives destroyed.
Scott?
Yeah, utter silence, huh?
Yeah, you where do you go with something like that? It's, you know,
censorship is a thing that destroys people's lives. That's what they don't want to tell you. They say, "Oh, we got to protect the children." There's no child buying A Taste of Cherry. The book was was bagged and boarded behind the counter, and the shop owner had to reach up to get it to sell it to an adult that he would card. This myth that they're not protecting the children. They're weak-minded motherfuckers. They really are weak-minded, wet-brained pieces of shit. People that get behind censorship, like recently we had Proposition B pass in California. I don't really understand why these idiots, they just voted out a $1 billion industry for no reason. No reason. They just voted all these crazy restrictions on adult films here in California with dental dams and inspectors. And it's really about taxes, because now you got to pay like this $8,000 tax license if you're going to shoot. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
So,
and
yes,
they just destroyed this business. There's going to be, think of all the caterers that are going to go belly up. Think of all the editors, the cameramen. They have families. You know, I knew Max Hardcore. Max Hardcore was a gentleman who should have never, ever gone to jail. He was an adult filmmaker who had a third-party distributor sell content that was only meant for Europe. This third-party distributor sold content meant for Europe, and the feds got it, and they bought it from him, and they said, "Look, we're going to give you immunity if you testify against Max Hardcore." Well, Max has no control over what a third-party distributor is going to do with his content. That's like saying, you know, I went and I shot a woman with a .38 special, and so the police are going to give me immunity so I could testify against the gun manufacturer. Pretty fucking crazy, right?
It's
absolutely.
But Max went to jail, and not only did Max go to jail, they fucked him even harder. They didn't send him to federal prison where he was supposed to be. They fucking sent him to the Two Towers in downtown L.A. with rapists and scumbags and bank robbers and violent offenders, okay? And the jury felt like they didn't even want to convict this guy. They said the judge's instructions were so narrow that they felt like they had to convict him. And this happened when? During an election year, right when Obama's supposed to be getting in. And here we have more of these weird, weird, goofy restrictions, you know? It's fucking insane. And here's the point of this. Max employed about 15 different people who had families. And when they raided Max's house, a female officer, they did this with shotguns and armed weapons. And, you know, they raided his place and they popped off a round in the fucking ceiling. And it went through the floor where the editor was sitting. And if he'd been in that room, he could have gotten fucking shot. What the fuck, man? And there's no victims here. We're talking about vomiting porn. That's what he went down for, like wet work stuff. It's bullshit. And so is this what we really want to spend our tax dollars on? And all these people are out of jobs now. All those tax dollars got lost. They talk about, oh, we don't want to do new taxes. Well, these assholes in California just voted out an industry, a fucking industry. Sure, Vivid might be able to absorb this, but all this business is going to move out of California now.
I was going to say, I'll bet Nevada is absolutely happy as can be that Prop B passed.
Yeah, Nevada's going, come here, it's legal here.
Yeah, but I don't want to get off onto that, you know. I want to be egotistical and talk about me.
Well, please do.
So what's your next question about this Taste of Cherry, Josh? Or you got something else you want to talk about?
Well, you mentioned how you worked in adult, which is something that you've never really talked about publicly. Now, I've seen some behind the scenes of you directing music videos and whatnot. Are you as aggressive when you were doing adult stuff as you were? Because you were almost screaming at your cameraman, Get in there! Move it! Now!
Guys, let me explain something to you about shooting an adult. You guys ever heard of Chi Chi LaRue?
I have
heard the name.
Chi Chi LaRue is a cross-dressing director for Vivid.
And when Chi Chi directs,
Chi Chi is screaming, "Suck that dick! Oh yeah, honey! Get that cock! Get that cock! Oh yeah, baby! Oh go, go, go!" And he's yelling the whole fucking time. You can't use any of the real audio from the scene. He was a director for Vivid, a contract director. It was hilarious sitting there watching him direct, because I worked for a studio as an editor. This person has gone on to become the head of production at Hustler, but I worked for him as an editor. And when I was directing adult, you know, when you're the director on anything, when you're the director of a company, when you're the director of a film, the director of a commercial or music video, you're setting the tone. You set the tone. You dictate what's happening on your set, whether it's happy or bad. Now, when you saw what you're talking about, you know, more energy, you're hearing me talking during over loud music that you don't hear as much on the camera. And I'm dealing with a cameraman that I've worked with for about 5 years. So sometimes I'm just like, "God damn it, Steve!" You know, there's certain things I need, or like the obituary shoot. I'm yelling over a crowd of 50 people.
Okay.
You have to be loud. Okay. When you're directing adult, it's a whole other issue. You know, for me, when I would direct adult, I wanted to have a scene where people were having fun. I wanted to see people having a good time. So no, I wasn't like that on set at all. In fact, I'm trying to coax a performance out of people. Like, one of the great things about working as a director and as an editor, producer, cameraman, still photographer, doing all those hats, is no one's really looking over your shoulder. You know, you're expected to create a professional product, but you're really left to your own devices. And so one of the things I find missing in most modern directors is that they call themselves a director, but what the fuck have you directed? You know, you're not getting practice. I'm a martial arts guy. That's another thing I haven't really talked about much, is I've been doing the martial arts since 1987. And you don't get to be the ultimate fighter until you've trained, until you've done, you know, a million arm bars, till you've had the shit choked out of you, till you've been punched in the face 100 times. You know, you don't get to the top until you go through the process. And that's just the way it is, you know. And that was the great thing I liked about Adult, was it was a paid film school. They paid me to learn filmmaking. I had to learn how to coax a performance from a person who could not act at all. Or you learn that, forget about the movie in your mind. There's the movie you imagine. There's the movie you wrote. And then when you get to the edit bay, there's the fucking movie you shot. Forget about what your original thought was. You have to deal with what's right in front of you. And when you start cutting and working for other people, I had a post-production company we were nominated for our work all the time. We were consistently nominated. It's called Crime Pays, Inc. And I did that for many years, and that's kind of what I did to teach myself a lot of the nuts and bolts of filmmaking. You know, you learn about what cameras, I learned all about Final Cut Pro, and I had a whole team of editors that worked for me. And when you've got a team of editors working for you, you learn something different from every guy. You know, there's not too many owners of a horror channel that have the depth of real world experience that I have. I'm a guy who takes a product from nothing and brings it to the market. My books have been sold in Hot Topic. I used to have a fake sales guy at Boneyard. His name was Conrad Neuhart. And it was hilarious, because there I am meeting the salespeople from Hot Topic at the San Diego Comic-Con, and they're telling me how aggressive my sales guy Conrad is. And I'm like, yep, he's the sales weasel. That's what he's for. He's supposed to be pushy. When it's me, I was Conrad Neuhart. You get it? And so I learned a lot of tricks. I've been the guy selling the products. I've been the guy designing the products. I have experience in marketing, sales, packaging that no one else in my position has, and it's real world experience.
Well, like Scott and I worked in the news for about a decade apiece, and people don't realize that like live television is not the same as shooting something regular. We learned all this stuff that you go to a movie shoot and it's like, yeah, have you ever stripped down and repaired a camera in a 30-second commercial break? No, I don't think you have. You learn different things in your professions, right, Scott?
Oh, yeah. It amazes me what news people can get done in a 2-minute commercial break.
I used to cut two adult films a week, guys.
Oh, yeah. And doing edited stuff, doing non-live stuff is completely different, whether it's adult or non-adult. You know, it's
you're talking about 90 minutes, two 90-minute films a week that I would cut from scratch every week for a period of time. That's a serious film boot camp. When I was a graphic designer, I worked for Vivid, guys. That's the biggest graphic design house, the best in the adult film business. And I learned a lot there. I was under a guy named Jeff Lamb. Jeff taught me a lot. I know I drove Jeff nuts, but I really got to thank the guy. You know, he had this thing where you would be down, you'd have downtime on your computer and he wouldn't let you fuck around. He had bookshelves of graphic design books and illustration books. And when you were down from your computer time, he expected you to go to school, to go through the books, to do that. So Jeff really took me to school. And when I was working in advertising for Samson West, Bill Samson worked in New York for the prime time of design and advertising. And he moved out to LA to get his daughter away from, you know, a bad scene in New York. And so I'm working for this gentleman. This is the guy who worked on the original ad campaign for the very first Last House on the Left, schooling me in marketing and graphic design.
It's only a marketing team.
You get it, you know. So I've been very blessed in the level of instruction, like in the martial arts. When I first started doing Taekwondo, I was lucky enough to have an instructor from the Korean Army demonstration team. That was my first introduction into martial arts as a practitioner. And my compadres in the club, you know, when I was training for my black belt, I was training with two guys that were on the Olympic, the Olympic Taekwondo team, and two of the dudes that do the stunts in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, the first ones, the Ho brothers that were world wushu forms champions. These are my peer group to train with. And then when I came out to Los Angeles, I've been lucky enough to luck my way with Gokor Chavichian, a man that our government stole from the Soviet Olympic judo team in the 80s. We stole this guy. That's how awesome he is. And he became Gene LaBelle's like adopted number one son. And Gene LaBelle is just another amazing mind in the martial arts. And these are the people that have been training me since 96. And being around those minds and going to them when I've got a problem, these are the people I go to when I've got a problem. You know, I'll go talk to Gene or Gokor. Or, you know, I work with Danzig and I'm really enjoying this relationship with Glenn. You know, and I can go to Glenn and ask Glenn for advice about my problems. I'm fucking lucky. I've got a serious brain trust and I've got this experience and I'm coming out like a fucking heart attack, man. 2013 is my goddamn year.
Assuming it doesn't all end in December 21st, 2012.
That's for punks and bitches. Yeah, children believe in fairy tales. Why don't you tell me more about the magic bunny monster that lives under your bed and brings you naughty eggs on Christmas when you've been bad and brings you stinky candy on Easter when you've been good? And what the fuck, man? I'm not a child. I'm not going to worship at your belief system that was created by a primitive man. You think a god wrote those books? A man wrote those books to control other men, you fucking dummies. But that's a whole other issue.
Indeed. Now, you've also directed the movie The Garbage Man. How different was that from your adult stuff, from music videos, things like that? Or was there really no difference in how you did Garbage Man, leaving out the personal tragedy you suffered during the shooting of that?
Well, Garbage Man's a whole other experience. For one thing, that's shooting on 16mm film. That right there is a major, major difference. 16mm film, guys. And as you gentlemen understand, there's a tremendous difference between digital technology and film technology.
Oh, yeah.
And so that right there was tremendous. Then there's the issue of I'm shooting in a town where I'm the biggest bad guy in town doing the Dahmer books. I was on the news all the time. So it helped. It actually helped me. My notoriety helped me get the film done. It was different. It was a student crew. You know, all U of I students were the crew. My actors were all from University of Illinois. We had an amazing amount we had a really great group of people on that film, except for my lead who blackmailed me. As soon as, you got to love this, this fucking asshole starts blackmailing us for cash to pay all his bills as soon as we roll off 3 days of film on him. Because he knew he had us. You know, he's the lead. And as soon as the films rolled, we only had enough money for X amount of film. You know, when we did The Garbage Man, we had just enough fucking money to feed everybody, rent the camera gear, rent the lights, buy the film, and once we ran out of film, you're out of movie, right? We had just enough. We only had enough film for one or two takes on each scene. If your special effects didn't work, and they didn't, you just had to deal with it, you know? So that was a completely different animal. And I was a young man, and I was a different person then. I was a very different guy. My girlfriend, Michelle, was murdered making that film, and it changed me completely. I mean, it completely changed me as a human being. And so it's really hard to compare.
I can understand that when something that big happens in life, not just the influence of the film, which is a handful and a half on its own, but then,
like, I guess one way to put it to you, Josh, is when you're doing adult, it's just a job. It's not some dream job. I'm not making a piece of art. I'm just a professional. I'm just a professional creating a product for a purpose, and that's my job. And I ask my customer, what kind of product do you want me to make you? You know, and that's part of being a professional. And when I did adult, for me, it was film school. Yeah. And I wanted to experiment and I wanted to have fun. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I also wanted to be a consummate professional. I wanted to satisfy the needs of my customer. I wanted to make sure that they got a product that would sell, that would do what the customer needed it to do. And so therefore, it's a whole other process. I'm not dealing with two buddies trying to undermine my movie so they could steal it and make it theirs and they could sell it behind my back.
Oh, you mean like the flowers and the razor wire and the...
I had the same thing happen with The Garbage Man. My partners on The Garbage Man used my emotional state after Michelle's murder to take advantage of me. A lot of people did. I was very mentally unstable. I spent 10 years fighting to keep her killer in jail, 3 different murder trials. It was a sex crime. It made me absolutely insane. It made me insane. You know, Scott, you asked me about being angry when we were off the air, and I mentioned, you know, I'm the same as Mark Ruffalo in The Avengers when they ask him, you know, how can you just change like that? And he's like, I'm angry all the time. I'm always angry. I, Hart Fisher, am always angry in a way that you guys don't even know. You don't even know. You don't even know how angry I am. Nobody knows. I wear this mask, and I've done it for a long time, and people think it's my face. And we all have our masks. We all wear our masks. You have one mask for job, another mask for your wife, another mask for your child, another mask for your friends that you hang out with at the bar. I'm just honest about it. I'm very, very honest about it. And I spend a lot of my time trying to be happy. I work at being happy because I'm so fucking angry. So I spend a lot of time thinking about what's going to make me happy, what's going to make my wife happy, what do I want out of my life, what do I want out of my job. I put a lot of effort into being happy. So to everybody else, they see a really happy dude, and I am. I am a very happy man. I'm a very lucky man in my life right now. But that anger is still there, man. It's a nuclear coal mine burning under the ground like Silent Hill.
Do you think that... It will burn. Do you think, Art, that without that anger, you wouldn't be able to accomplish what you have? Or do you think that you'd just be a happy-go-lucky guy with everything?
I would have done it in a different way. So I've been drawing, you know, my own comic book since I was 5 years old. You know, I first discovered comic books, Richie Rich, Lil Lulu, and that was my first desire, was to do comics. And I loved it. I loved doing comic books. It was a dream come true. I've been very lucky, guys. For all the violence in my life and all the bullshit, fuck, man, I've lived my dreams. I live my dreams. I remember riding around in the back of my 79 Buick Regal with these fucking store-bought, you know, stereo speakers, these giant friggin' speakers that were hooked up to my radio in my car, and I'm cruising down the road with my brother, and we got Danzig's Mother cranked. We're like, yeah, you know, and fuck, 25 years later, Glenn's a friend of mine. Holy shit! You know, I didn't expect to ever work an adult. It was just something like everybody else growing up. You're like, ooh, yum, oh, I found Dad's penthouse stash. Woo! And I never dreamed that I'd end up working for those people. I never dreamed that Herschel Savage would be at my wedding. Had no fucking clue that I'd be running around and hanging out and going to the movies with Randy West. Teasing him about he should get his senior citizen discount. You know, it's been a wonderful, wonderful life. And so the anger is part of the yin and the yang, you know. So for the thing that people need to know is for the depth of my anger, my love is equally deep.
Well, on that same token, with all the anger, and I'm just talking professionally here, do you have any regrets or any things that you wish you could go back and change or do differently? Like with the Dahmer books, do you have a great idea now that you wish you'd put into them or something like that?
Hmm.
I stumped him.
No. The only real regret I have in my life and something that's driven me and continues to drive me is I do have a bit of a superhero complex. I grew up with comic books and I do have a bit of that hero complex in me. You know, I want to do good things. I want to do the right thing. I am the guy who's heard people being mugged and I have gone out and stopped it. I've done that more than once. You know, when I was a bouncer, I learned that my job was to help people have a good time. I wasn't there to prove I was a tough guy. I wasn't there to show the world how big and badass I was. Even though I thought that when I first walked in the door, the guy schooled me and I learned that there was more joy at the bar in helping people have a good time. A lot more joy in that than just looking for a chance to beat somebody in the alley. And that's no fun. That's actually pretty lame, you know, when you think about it. So if I have regrets, the thing that's haunted me and also drives me is a bit of survivor's guilt. I've had a lot of violence in my life, and I've had three different women I've really cared about have been raped. So when those Republicans were talking their shit about rape, I can't tell you how furious I was because I've been there. And there ain't nothing like holding a woman in your arms who's been raped by a friend of yours. I can't put that into words. I don't know how to describe it for you, or being in a car looking for that guy who did that, or being in the hospital, yanking out my pubic hair so they could eliminate me, my hair from the rapist hair, and dealing with the rape kits and dealing with these issues. There's so much more to these things than what these politicians fucking flap their goddamn gums about. So that's something I regret. I have regretted with each one of those girls that I could not have been there to help them to stop it. And that, that haunts me.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
I regret that. That's one of the only things I regret. I don't regret much else in business. And I guess the only thing I could regret from my career in publishing was how many guys got left hold on the bag when I went bankrupt in 2000, when I had to go through bankruptcy court. There was a lot of my creators that didn't get paid. And in my business career, as far as business goes, that is my only regret. My only regret in business, in comics, was that some of my guys didn't get paid, and I really regret that. That bothers me.
Well, speaking of comics, did you ever have a dream job you didn't get? Like, leaving aside the Marvel lawsuit, if Marvel ever offered you the chance to, say, write the Avengers, would you want to do that, or are they as dead to you as they are to me?
Well, what do they say? You know, when you become a man, you put away childish things.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So what we have in this country is we have the luxury of an extended adolescence. My madness and my rage and my life, I kind of did have an extended adolescence. And when my wife came down with cancer in 06, that was time to begin be a man. You know, my father had passed in 04, and that really fucked me up. And I had a lot of crazy shit go down with people that I thought were my friends. And that's when I had to really, really grow the fuck up. So as far as, like, dreams and comics, you know, I lived them, guys. I did it. Stephen Bissette was one of my favorite horror creators. He had so much influence on me as an artist, as a fucking man. Steve had a major influence on me. Steve, if you hear this, you had a major, major positive influence on me. And my first comic convention I was ever at, I got lucky enough to sit down and have him buying me beers. Fuck. I lived them. I lived the dreams. I went further in that business than I ever, ever thought I would, guys. I've gotten further than I ever dreamed of. I've already done it. I did it. I got further than I ever fucking dreamed in that business. I got a fucking blowjob sitting on Stan Lee's car in the parking garage where I worked for Vivid.
Hopefully not from okay? Stan Lee.
No, not Stan. It was a super hot fucking British blonde bombshell. It was fucking wonderful. And way I'm sure go. Somebody somewhere has a great security camera footage of that.
So what's
the dream job? I guess if they were smart at Marvel, if anybody at DC had half a fuck, not DC, Disney had half a fucking brain, I would run Marvel. The dream job? Run Marvel. I would make it something so wonderful, so amazing. I would return it to the golden age that everybody talks about. I would make a new golden age with Marvel. I would stun the fucking world.
That makes good sense. So what's next? What's on the dream horizon? You've got American Horrors, and that's up and running and doing really well. And you've put your comics behind you and stuff like that. What are your dreams? What are your visions for the future, Hart?
I want to make my wife happy.
Well, that's a good one. Can you do that professionally?
Yeah, I can. That's a big one for me. You know, I want to be happy. I want my wife to be happy and healthy. Well, you know, guys, I'm living it.
You're already
I'm living
there,
the dream. I am right now. I'm doing exactly what I want to do. American Horrors is designed to be as big as Disney. This is the thing I'm going to be doing for the next 30 years, 40 years. This is what I'm doing, is American Horrors. My dream is to create the largest horror behemoth the world has ever seen. I'm here to own the genre. And if people don't understand what's coming for them, that's great. I'll surprise them, because it's the punch you don't see coming that knocks you out. And I got a lot of them. I'm dealing with a lot of great people that are helping me. I've got an amazing team behind me. I've got an amazing group of successful business people that are schooling me and have taken an interest in my success. So my dream right now, guys, is to create this company, and I'm in it. I'm doing it. American Horrors is – I can't believe I got it on the air, guys. I wanted it so bad on the air last year, so fucking bad, and I didn't really believe I was going to do it. I didn't really believe I could do it, and I did it, even though I didn't believe. I didn't believe that I could get it done last year, and I fucking did. So the goal now is to just keep the brand building. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I don't know if the folks at home have heard of the Omnibox. The Omnibox is a new cable box from Omniverse TV. If you go to Omnibox, or it's myomnibox.com, that's myomibox.com, they can check this out. It's a cable top box that you pick up. You can get it right now at Radio Shack, and come Christmas, it's supposed to be on sale in Walmart. And on this box, you get all the Film On channels. You get Fox, Spike, NFL, TBS, CNN, Hulu, all of them. There's no contracts, no credit checks, no long-term commitments. You can get over 100 channels for $24.95 a month.
Not bad.
That's not bad. So my goal is to make American Horrors a bigger and bigger channel. I'm here. You know, at one point, I kind of wanted to drive Chiller and Fearnet right out of business. Fuck you guys. You guys are posers. But now my feeling is more like I think there's room for them. They're cut. They're broadcast. They're not rock and roll. They're just what a corporation believes it can make money on. They don't care. That's not their life. That's just a revenue stream that they're trying to develop because they think they can make money on it. It's not their passion. Horror's my passion. Conquest is my passion. I mean, in the martial arts world, an overhand right works and it knocks you the fuck out, or it don't. There's no talking about it. There's no bullshit. The technique broke his fucking arm or it didn't. And the mentality that people need to understand with me that they're dealing with is I'm a guy who goes out and I put myself in a position of pain. My pain tolerance, you can't even believe it. I got bruises all over me from Monday night's class. They'll be gone in a couple days and I'll be right back training. And I've been doing this for 20 plus years. You know, I've taught martial arts. It's a different mentality. It's a hardened mentality. And that's what you need to succeed at this. And I'm allying myself with people like Alki David. You know, I'm allied with Alki. Alki is the heir to the Coca-Cola bottling empire. Alki is, Jesus Christ, he's one of the wealthiest fucking people in the world, folks.
And
that's
nuts.
Who I talk to. That's who I'm fucking dealing with. Our sponsor, SafeSig, you know, for heart attack. That's co-owned by John Cameron, guys. I know John. I'm talking to some serious motherfucking people, and they're starting to see what's going down with me. You know, we're signing a lot of marketing people. I've got my book. I've been working on this for a while. It's the collected writings from Incul Blog. It's called An American Horror Story, and I'm trying to get it together and released on Amazon in time for Christmas. That's something we're trying to get out there. It's got an introduction by Don Richard Slegert, who is the only surviving victim of the Happy Face Killer. She's the only one who got away from that serial killer. And she wrote the introduction of the book, and it blows my mind. Blows my mind. I want to get my poetry books back into print, and I'm going to be doing more films. I'm going to be acting more. I have just recently been in a film that is called, I believe at this point it's called The Forbidden Zone. I'm not sure. It's directed by Chris J. Miller, a director I'm associated with at American Horrors. And I play a thug, you know, I'm beating up the hero in the movie. It's great. I want to do action films. I want to go and do good old-fashioned Chuck Norris and Eye for an Eye, The Octagon, A Force of One. I want to do simple, straight-ahead, you know, action films where the bad guy gets his fucking ass kicked because I'm angry. I need to beat up the bad guy, even if it's just in the movies.
That works. So
fair enough.
Any let's say a 10-year-old boy comes up to you, Hart, and says, you know, you've had my dream job and I want to do it. What advice do you have for young people or people that want to do what they want to do? How do you make that happen?
Well, you know, in a lot of ways, my advice has changed over the years. I've dealt with a lot. I've mentored a lot of kids. That's my private thing. I don't talk about it publicly much, but I deal with a lot of at-risk kids, a lot of at-risk youth. And I deal with them eye to eye. That's not some fucking program. You don't see me on fucking TV trying to get dimes for this or dimes for that. I try to help people in a very real way, you know, try to just talk to them. I live in Highland Park, which is a very violent section of Los Angeles. There's a lot of kids here. You know, the local kids, they call me the devil. That's what they call me in Highland Park, the gang kids and the tagger kids. I'm the devil to them, and I hang out with them. I've gone to their clubs, their parties, their backroom parties. I've hung out with them. You know, it's been amazing, and they've really taken me in. I went through a really down period in my life, and Highland Park, the people of Highland Park really helped me. You know, there's a guy out there, Richard Scott Moore, who really helped me. You know, these guys really helped me when I was really at the bottom of my rope, and I will never forget that. You know, I've got friends in low places, and I will always remember that. And so I talk to these kids all the time, and a lot of what I tell them is, fuck the face fuckers. I mean, all this shit on Facebook, these kids today are growing up with Big Brother over their shoulder in a way that you and I just don't even comprehend. Because for me, these kids can't comprehend me. I don't give a fuck what you say about me on Facebook. I don't care. Go fuck yourself. Write another blog, bitch. I don't fucking care. Twitter away. I don't care. Call me a scumbag. I don't care. I don't give a fuck what you say about me on the internet. It's all been said before. It's all been done before. Can you harm a sword? No, you can't, bitch. Keep typing. So that's what I tell people. Develop your own moral center. You have to develop your own moral center that doesn't rely on what your friends say on Facebook. Fuck Facebook. In fact, fuck most of the web. I mean, seriously, it's just being used to monitor us. I mean, communicate where you can. Do what you want to do. You got to focus on what makes you happy. And when I say that, that doesn't mean, well, sitting here playing video games, smoking pot makes me happy, and I'm just a slug. Well, fuck you. That's not living life. That's not a life. I tell people that you gotta really seek out what you want to do. You gotta focus on it. You gotta do it. Quit talking about it. You want to make a movie? Go make a movie. You can go get a camera from Best Buy for $300 and make a movie. Go do it. You want to do comic books? Go draw them. Go do it. I tell them you can do it. You can do it. And I say, don't listen to everybody else. I mean, you gotta have a certain amount of, you know, dude, when you drew that guy, all your characters got giant pumpkin heads. You need to work on your anatomy a little bit. You know, take some constructive criticism, sure. But don't let people dominate your vision. I've had girlfriends tell me I needed to quit comics. You know, that was childish. And I've had girlfriends tell me, you know, give up on your movie, The Garbage Man. I love this little gem from a girlfriend. She told me that she had friends that were much more talented than me fail. So why should I even bother? That's wow. Fucking loser talk, man. That's fucking loser talk. What I say is do not keep the door to opportunity open in your mind. When you close your mind first, you close the door to opportunity. Keep it open. Keep it open. Quit talking yourself out of something before you do it. It's like being out with a girl and you've done the three dates. She digs you. She's into you. She wants you. And then all of a sudden she asks you some question about what you want to do in 5 years. And she decides she doesn't like what you want to do in 5 years, even though she'd wanted to fuck you all those three dates. She just talked herself out of a good time. You get me?
She could have been coming. Instead, she was going.
Exactly. Foolish, foolish, really foolish. And I see that a lot now. People are really afraid, man. They're really afraid of their peer group. They're afraid of what's going to be said about them. Leave the fear behind. Fuck what everybody says. Fuck them.
Well, I mean, look at what a lot of people have said about you, and yet here you are. Angry, yes, but all in all, you've said you're living your dream, and for the most part, you are a happy guy when it comes down to it.
Look, Ma, top of the world.
Yeah, and look at all of the negative bullshit people have said about you. So it's good to see that somebody is actually living the example living the advice that they give to kids.
Well, here's the thing that I want people listening at home to understand, that what they really need to understand about the internet. People want to act like, oh, it's all different. People have gotten so savage. People are so mean. How could you say that? Nothing's different, guys. Nothing is different. What you're seeing now is people are displaying their ignorance publicly, whereas before, you had to be at a bar for some dumbass to tell you how Obama's giving all these jobs to the wetbacks and the niggers and the damn Obama. It was in a bar somewhere that you heard it. It wasn't on the public square where everybody read it and all your coworkers could read it and your boss could read it and your wife read it. People used to just talk to each other, and that was it. They'd bitch and moan, or they'd talk about, I can't stand Ashton Kutcher, that fucking guy. What? Oh, fucking guy. Now, all of a sudden, everybody gets to hear that conversation. These conversations are no different. All the stuff about Honey Boo Boo, it's showing the end of humanity. Dudes, we used to lynch black people from trees and have a picnic around the kicking, shitting body while it died. Little kids would sit and poke it with sticks. Grow the fuck up. Humanity is humanity, bitches.
That's a pretty darkly succinct way to put it, I think.
It's the fucking truth, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but you just
in Rwanda, they cut each other up with machetes while they're all high on methamphetamines and LSD. That didn't happen 50 years ago. That didn't happen 20 fucking years ago. Right?
Right.
Exactly. It's all the same shit. We're all the same people. You're just hearing about it now.
Yeah, in a way, you're more open to receiving this new information, but it's not really new information. It's always been there. You just ignored it, you chose not to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I kind of laugh, you know, like I'm the real thing. That's why people are threatened by me. Howard Stern calls himself the king of all media. You lying motherfucker. You ain't the king of shit. You're a voice on the radio. Have you directed a movie? No. Have you edited a movie? No. Have you actually written books? Not some bio that somebody helped you ghostwrite. Books. No. Have you written short stories? No. Have you written any poetry? No.
I'm not you a get Howard me? Stern fan to begin with, so.
Yeah, it's...
Have you directed TV shows? No. Have you written a TV show? I don't know the answer to that question, but I don't really think you're the king of all media. You're the king of all hype. I'm here to be the king of all media. I'm here to do it for real. No one's done what I'm here to do. I'm a guy who is on the bleeding edge of creativity, and it's a little lonely out here. So I get along with guys like Danzig. It is a little lonely at the top. People do come to you just looking to take from you. Glenn and some of these other famous folks that I know have provided me an amazing example to look at, and I've been able to talk to them. How do you guys deal with the web? How do you guys handle this? You know, I've been able to sit with Mark, one of the guys from Metalocalypse. We were working on editing Danzig's TV special that he's putting together. He recreated the Elvis 68 comeback special only with himself. It's great. It's great. It's so good. It was so magical being there and editing this thing. It was fucking wonderful. And that's my life. And these guys are sharing their experience with me. And so I get to learn from what they've done. And you can't put a price on that, man.
No, that's truly amazing.
I
have one final question. For your heart and
we've only got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, this could be a fun one, but what do you think? American Horror's theme park? Do we have one coming down the road?
Yeah, actually I've been having discussions about all kinds of things. We are working on a movie review app. We have four different TV shows that are in production. We, unlike other horror channels, we actually have true original programming at American Horrors. We have a true crime show that's amazing with Burl Barr and Don Waldman that will blow your fucking mind. We've got the American Horrors news magazine show that takes you to film festivals, behind the scenes, interviews, the works. Then we've got, Jesus Christ, the American Horrors Intermission, which is an amazing interview show where I sit down. It's me and one guy, a star. It'll be somebody like Kenneth J. Hall, is one of the co-creators of the Puppet Master series and has done makeup effects for everybody. And his little brother, Cleve, is the Monster Man on Sci-Fi Channel. I've known these guys for years. Or I'll talk to Harry Manfredini about how do you scare people with music. And these shows are all in development and on our network. We're working on a new show with Count Crazy Craig's Funeral Fun House. That's a horror host music video show. We've got amazing stuff happening, and I even forgot your original question. I'm just so thrilled with what's going on with American Horrors that I'm just living the dream every day. You know, I'm so excited to be going to work. We program our channel ourselves. There's an employee who does it. I do the schedule. We write the content descriptions because we know when we're flipping through the guide, we hate it when we read a shitty description. So at American Horrors, I'm thinking of my experience as a consumer. And I don't fucking believe anybody at Sony, at FearNet, or Chiller. I don't think any of those guys are thinking like that. What's my experience as a fan?
It's true.
They're not. And I'm here to deliver the best horror for all the horror fans.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, so we have to say good night to Hart Fisher and listen to him on What the Fuck every week. Got to get that plug in, Scott.
I don't blame.
Good night. Good night, guys.
Thanks for joining us, Hart. It's been a pleasure having you along, and I look forward to next time.
On American Horrors, filmon.com.
Yep.
No, you don't hang up on him. You close.
I'm not hanging up on him.
Then why'd you pull up that window?
Anyway, thanks, everybody. Bye.